In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Len Robinson, one of the Verges here at St. Augustine's, has a variety of funny t-shirts. There is one that says, "No, I will not fix your computer," which is funny because Len often fixes my computer. He has one that says, "Beer, proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy." My favorite of his t-shirts concerns physics, which Len taught for many years. It says, "Gravity, not just a good idea, it's the law." And it is funny. It's funny for two reasons, I guess. The two meanings that we will give to this word, law. First, we might think of law as that set of rules that we as a society have agreed upon. For example, we have a rule that says, in the city, you will drive 50 kilometers per hour, except in front of a school when you must slow down to 30 kilometers per hour. We have a law that makes us stop at a red light and go on a green. These are arbitrary laws, in a way. We have decided that they should be true. We could, of course, set our speed limits faster or slower. We could replace red and green lights with orange and purple if we chose. But behind this first meaning of the word law lies a second, a deeper meaning. The law being simply the way things are, or the laws of nature. We create traffic laws precisely because of other laws that we do not create, the laws of physics. According to these laws, the faster we drive our cars, the longer it takes to stop them. And we might have to stop quickly if there is ice on the streets or children at the crosswalk or oncoming traffic. Now, this first kind of law, speed limits, traffic lights, we can obey or disobey as we choose. The second kind of law does not wait upon our choosing. We might sometimes break traffic laws if we're in a hurry and when the streets are clear of both ice and small children. But we should not argue with the laws of physics. Therefore, gravity, not just a good idea, it's the law. When we first learn to drive, it is the written laws that will seem important to us. Indeed, we have to memorize the written laws in order to get our driver's license. But those of you who are good drivers will know that you often now drive without thinking of the laws. You are more aware of the speed of your car and the oncoming traffic. You are attending to the deeper meaning of the law. So it is in the spiritual life. When we are young or young Christians, we will learn the written rules that govern our spiritual lives. I'm thinking particularly those 10 commandments given to Moses. We will memorize them. We will learn them. We might think of them as arbitrary rules, but we will choose to follow them because of the authority that sets them in place. We obey them because we're told to, perhaps. Of course, the older we get, and certainly the more mature in our Christian life, the more we are aware of a deeper law underlying the written laws. And this is the law of love. We are to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. We are to love each other, even as we love ourselves. Now, like the law of physics, this law of love is not something we make up. It is a description of reality we are powerless to change. We can, of course, choose to not love, but if we do, we distort our fundamental human nature. We are created to love God and receive love from God. We are created to love each other and to receive love from each other. We can disobey this law, but if we do, we become less human. We will be lonely, we will be angry, we will fear solitude. We will fill our lives with idolatry. We will remain spiritually like children. We will not be fully human. A wonderful moment this morning. Joanne was singing Psalm 119. The Hebrew poet sings, "Oh, how I love the law." Well, this will sound very strange if we're thinking of something like traffic law or tax law or the deliberations of the United Nations. Nor is this Hebrew poet singing about those 700-odd particular injunctions found in the first five books of Moses. This is not what stirs the poet's heart. It is the law underneath the law. It is the unwritten law, the law of the heart that inspires the written law. It is the love of God that the poet loves. The Jewish word is Torah. And for this poet, he speaks of Torah the way we speak of gospel. It is good news. It is life. It is love. It is freedom. It is communion with the God who creates us and who heals us. So the psalmist sings out, "Oh, how I love the law." But what he loves is the law of love. I think the poet loves the law in the same way that, well, two young lovers who find themselves far apart will love the telephone. It is how they communicate. It is how they reach each other. Of course, we human beings, we keep forgetting this inner, this deeper law of love. It is much easier to focus on outward laws. We do become legalistic. We begin to keep account of our behavior and other people's behaviors. We will judge by appearances and so begin to live for the sake of appearances. So it was in the time of the prophet Jeremiah. The people were, for the most part, faithful to the outward, the written laws of the Torah, those 700 and some injunctions found in the first five books of Moses. But the meaning of Torah, the meaning of the law, the gospel that we find in that Old Testament is the law of love, to love God and to love other people. And that law was being disregarded. God speaks through Jeremiah. He says, "You people, you praise me with your tongues, but your hearts are far from me." And so what he speaks this morning in Jeremiah is, "I will write my law again, and not on tablets and not on papyrus. I will write my law on your hearts, because it is in your hearts that the law has been forgotten. I will put my law within you. I will write it on your hearts. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord.' For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." It is, of course, this tension between the outward law and the inward law, the written law, the law written on paper and the law written in our hearts, that Jesus confronts most persistently in the Gospels. You'll notice he's always arguing with the Pharisees. And he argues with the Pharisees precisely because they are so nearly right, and yet not quite. Faithful to the written law, faithful to the 700-odd injunctions of the Torah, and disregarding the law of love that is written in their own hearts. So Jesus speaks to the Pharisees so persistently to recover the law behind the law, that they should love God and should love each other. In our gospel lesson, Jesus tells a parable about the law, both the outward and the inward law. It is a very challenging little parable, he writes. And like most parables, it can be interpreted in at least two ways, and we will speak both of them. He says, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was also a widow who kept coming to the judge saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, the judge refused. But he said to himself, I have no fear of God and no respect for anybody, but this widow, she keeps bothering me. I will grant her justice so that she will not wear me out. And the Lord says, listen to what the unjust says. So here is the first understanding of the parable. That God hears us. And he wants us to be persistent. He wants us to pray. He wants us to speak. He wants us to be full of conviction. And if we speak to the judge like this, poor widow speaks, God will hear us and will grant us justice. Here is the first understanding of the parable. The second understanding of the parable is this, that we are the judge. The judge represents the outward law, the superficial appearance of justice. He is a judge, but he doesn't worry about God. He doesn't love his fellow people. And there is a poor, persistent widow. She is lowly, poor, pleading, persistent, full of conviction. And here is the inward law in our hearts, that God speaks perpetually in our hearts. And she is poor, but persistent, full of conviction. You will notice there's a picture of the parable on the front of your bulletin. You know, when I first look at this picture, I look at a judge and I see the judge as God, and there's the poor widow down here, and I will imagine myself as the poor widow, you know, pleading for justice. This second understanding of the parable. Imagine that you are the judge and God is the poor, lowly, pleading widow, and it is God crying within you that you should pay attention for justice, for mercy. In this reading, we are the unjust judges of the world, and God, who speaks his deep law of love and justice in our heart, is the persistent widow. She is persistent. She is full of conviction, and she wins the day. And the inward law of our hearts would win the day in our lives, that we might not just be outwardly faithful to the laws of God, but be filled with that love, which is the beauty and the purpose and the poetry of the law. I just want to conclude. I'm going to read not the whole poem, just parts of a poem. This is called Law Like Love. It's from W.H. Auden, and it's his little meditation on the law, which is love, which is contested. So it's poetry. I apologize for that. I do this from time to time. Inflict poetry on you. Law, says the gardeners, is the sun. Law is the one all gardeners obey, tomorrow, yesterday, today. Law is the wisdom of the old, the impotent grandfathers feebly scold. The children put out a troubled tongue. Law is the senses of the young. Law, says the priest with a priestly look, expounding to an unpriestly people. Law is the words in my priestly book. Law is my pulpit and my steeple. Law, says the judge as he looks down his nose, speaking clearly and most severely. Law is, as I've told you before, law is, as you know, I suppose, law is, but let me explain it once more. Law is the law. If we, dear, know that we know no more than they about the law, yet we shall boast anyway, law is like love, I say. Like love, we don't know where or why. Like love, we cannot compel or fly. Like love, we often weep. Like love, we seldom keep. Gracious and loving God, Be persistent in our lives, we pray. That law which is inscribed on our hearts, we ask you would etch it deeper. Give us conviction to read the law, to know that law, to love that law, to love that law which is your love. Amen.